Well, the renewables enthusiasts say that the battery signifies the shift from the 20th century power system to the 21st century. But what does it mean in practical terms for South Australian energy users? Well, Giles Parkinson is the editor of the website Renew Energy, and he says the battery already came to the rescue during the peak in South Australia yesterday, as Caroline Winter just mentioned. I spoke to Giles Parkinson earlier.
A lot of people describe this as, 100 megawatts, 129 megawatt hours, all that's going to do is power 30,000 houses for an hour or so, and then that'll be it. But that's not exactly its purpose. It's going to do two things. One, there's a part of the battery that's actually contracted to the South Australian government that will help out in the case of major faults. So if a line goes down or there's tremors in the network, then the battery can actually respond really quickly, faster than any gas generator, faster than any coal or diesel generator, and provide the stability and security to the grid while other slow-moving machines can then respond. The second thing that it will do is what we actually saw happen last night. Yesterday in South Australia, it was really hot. The wind died off. There was a huge amount of peak demand with the air conditioners, and there wasn't so much a shortage of supply, but it was getting low. So what happened was that the Australian Energy Market Operator asked the Tesla people to do their trials, which they're going to do during the day, and do it in the peak period. So at one particular point in the evening peak at around 4:30 and 5 o'clock, it put in 70 megawatts of power from the battery, and that helped meet the peak demand without having to switch on another gas generator. It meant that less fossil fuels were burnt. It meant that actually prices came down because rather than switching on a really expensive gas generator, you had a battery there instead. And but basically disappeared. And what it put into the grid at that moment was what it had stored from the neighbouring wind farm the night before. So I think everyone was pretty happy about the way that happened.
The battery idea came about because of the load shedding blackouts that hit South Australia and New South Wales. Is there a guarantee that this battery can stop that happening again?
Well, it can certainly hope. And what it does mean, it's actually a smarter, cheaper and cleaner way of actually addressing those issues. So if you think about the way that we've responded to these things in the past, and load shedding has actually happened in Australia over the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, it's not actually that uncommon. But what this means is that we've actually got a smarter and cheaper and quicker response. And what we'll see over time, as more and more batteries are installed throughout the grid, we're going to see greater stability. For instance, in a few months' time, you're going to see another big battery installed also in South Australia at the bottom of the York Peninsula. That's at the end of the grid. It's also next to a wind farm. What that will be able to do is provide or create a microgrid. So if there's power outages elsewhere, then that will actually be able to keep power on in that area using the output from the local wind farm and the local rooftop solar and providing like a mini grid for those people to continue operating. And we'll see a whole bunch of different applications across the network, because the exciting thing about batteries is it does more than one, two or three things. You know, it can walk and talk at the same time and do much, much more. And it can actually be used to defer the amount of money you need to spend on new poles and wires or upgrading transformers and things like that. So once all the market rules are properly aligned and actually recognize the value of this storage, then you're going to see more and more put into the grid without the need for government support or direct subsidies.
And you described that situation last night in South Australia where the battery, did that job brilliantly. But once that battery has been run down, it's been run down. There's nothing left in it. So if you have an ongoing scenario, as you often do in South Australia, of, successive days of hot weather, successive days of really high use of air conditioners and electricity demand, the battery's not going to be much use over time, is it?
I guess it will, because most of the time, even though you get those four days of hot weather, you don't have those critical peaks running for 4 days. It usually just comes at one particular point of the day, and that's where that battery can be very, very useful. The market operator has a whole bunch of different things that's available to it. For instance, in Victoria yesterday, a grid that relies heavily on coal-fired generation, one of the very big units from Loy Yang A was not available because it tripped about a month ago and hasn't come back online. So it was also a hot day there. It was also running out of supply. So what it did was implement something under their sort of emergency rules, and it contracted for something called load management, which is basically Well, we don't actually know what it was in this case, but presumably it was a major manufacturer or a major user that volunteered to reduce capacity or their demand or their load at that particular point in time and got paid for it. So it's not something that's required of them or sort of imposed on them. It's part of a voluntary measure. So rather than just trying to switch things on all the time, you can actually source different sources of technologies to actually reduce the load rather than increasing capacity. And it's just a smarter and cheaper way of doing things.
So it's around better management as well as building up the amount of storage that we have available.
Oh, absolutely. Look, if you think about the prices that we pay for electricity right now, it's because every time we have a problem, we thought we could solve the answer by building more and more. So we've built these huge networks. We've built this massive fleet of generators, most of which are used for only a few hours a year, and yet we're paying the cost of all that construction. So if we can actually find better ways of actually managing that grid, and instead of just building something new every time we think we're going to have a shortage, we actually have more batteries, or we have more load management technologies or other smarter means of dealing with that, then that's actually going to mean lower prices over the longer term.
It all sounds fabulous. What are the risks and what are the unknowns that we need to be looking out for?
Look, there's still risks and there's still unknowns. With the rollout of the battery storage, I mean, there's a few things to be taken into account. One is having a proper strategy for the rollout. Two, I guess, over the longer term is making sure that these batteries can be recycled. But if we actually encourage more to come out, then I think we're going to see a big reduction in costs over the shorter term and over the longer term. And we'll also start seeing other forms of storage too, particularly pumped hydro.
Giles Parkinson, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Giles Parkinson, the editor of the website Renew Energy.